Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
There's no way I did so much wrong in that game to not only get subbed that quickly, but to, you know, completely go to just not being on the roster.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside my co-host, Tanner Testman. And we have a very special guest here today, FC Dallas superstar, Eddie Manjoma. Welcome to the podcast, my boy.
It's a pleasure. I don't know about superstar yet, but it is a pleasure. Pleasure to be on this podcast for sure.
Of course, of course. And before we get into it, guys, make sure that if you are enjoying the content, like, share, and subscribe. We just hit 1K, thanks to you guys. So the road to the next 1,000 is coming up. So make sure y'all hitting that subscribe button and sharing with your buddies if y'all enjoy the content. But before we get into it, how are you doing, my boy?
I'm chilling. Yeah, we out here in Vancouver right now, just relaxing. I got, like I said, a solid hour before I got to go to lunch. So I'm happy to be here for sure.
That's lovely. Coming off a big time goal, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I was obviously a little bit, it's like bittersweet because, you know, I got my first goal, but then we crashed out of the Open Cup. But I mean, nevertheless, it felt good. It felt really good to get my first goal for the club. So I'm excited. Hopefully I can, you know, build on it and get another and another and another. But we'll see. We'll see. Definitely exciting, though. It was exciting.
For sure. But we have this thing here called the Chump Chat Blessing. And things tend to happen, you know, after the Chump Chat interview. And we can give you some few examples, but we don't got to dive too deep. But basically what we're saying is, like, when you get that goal, that next goal, it's a Chump Chat Blessing. Like, you're a good player. Like, you got a good potential, but wouldn't be possible without the Chump Chat interview. Just want to let you know. So when it does happen, we take some credit there. I want to talk about this past week. Have y'all been in LA? Like, did y'all go back to Dallas or no?
No, we didn't. So we played Galaxy on, I think it was Saturday. We flew in Friday night and then we played Saturday. And then we stayed all through. So we came straight from LA to Vancouver. We didn't go back to Dallas. So we stayed all through Sunday. It was just like a day off. We just chilled. We went to Manhattan Beach, got some food, got some ice cream. Like, it was chill. It was really chill. And then we flew into Vancouver yesterday afternoon. And then we play, what's today, Tuesday? We play tomorrow, and then we go back on Thursday. So it's been like, it's all in all, it's like a week-long trip, which is, I mean, it is long. Like, obviously I'm not complaining because, you know, you got the fat per diem. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't have minded, like coming back to Dallas for a little bit, but I'm not complaining. It's chill.
That's funny you say that, the fat per diem. We don't do per diem here, you know what I'm saying? So that's funny that,
Well, you don't need like per diem over there.
We don't need per diem, huh? We could talk about you, Eddie, though.
I was going to ask, you said you would like to go back to Dallas. Are you living on your own or do you have someone to go back to now in Dallas?
I'm living with my girlfriend now, actually. We just started living together beginning of this year. So it's been, we're in May now, 5 months. It's chill. Obviously, I still, you know, she's still at SMU and it's obviously a little bit different than, you know, just seeing her on the weekends and stuff. Like, now she's there all the time and it's chill. I like it. I like it a lot. So
how long have you guys been together?
We just passed 4.5 years. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
it's about that time, boys.
It's the real deal. It's the real deal for sure. It's
about that time.
We can say you definitely didn't rush into like moving it together. That's for sure.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Honestly, it wasn't really something that like we planned. Like we need to do this. It kind of just like spontaneously happened, which I think it's even better. It's like a surprise almost. Because you know, she was finishing her last 2 years at SMU, and I was kind of getting tired of living in Frisco, not because of the area, but I mean the rent over there is just expensive. So I was like, you know what, I kind of want to relocate. And then we got a spot in Addison, like right in between both of us, so it's perfect.
Beautiful. So how far you be driving to training though?
It's like 15 minutes. It's not that bad.
Oh,
and it's 15 minutes for her to go to SMU as well. So it's literally right in the middle.
We want to take a quick break from the video to shout out our sponsor, BET Online. They continue to be the number one site for all your betting needs. Don't forget that the NBA playoffs are going on right now. Who do y'all have winning the NBA finals? I got my hometown Mavs and Luka going all the way. But on a serious note, make sure to go to your mobile desktop, check out BETonline.com, and use the code BELIEVE for 50% off your welcome bonus. That's BLEAV for 50% off.
This is what we like to hear, man. This is good. Cause I remember like when we were both playing together and you would be like, yeah, like I got to go see her. Like I see her every once in a while. And I was like, yeah. That's tough. Like I feel for you there, but I'm glad you were able to work it out this year. Cause that's huge, bro. For real.
No, for sure. For sure. And obviously, yeah, you get to know someone best when you're living with them, you know? So we're definitely like growing our connection even more than we did, which is crazy to think. Cause like I said, it's 4.5 years now, but yeah, you can always, you know, strengthen that relationship. So it's nice.
Hey,
it's nice
to see. Let me tell you, though, the chum chat blessing just doesn't happen on the field. You know what I'm saying? Like the blessing goes throughout life. So, hey, but we got to talk about this form that SC Dallas is in for real, though. Like this has been a perfect start to the season, you could say. I mean, y'all are second in the league overall. Yeah. Last time I checked. Mm-hmm. I mean, how's the vibe? How's everything compared to last year? Like I want to know personally because I was with Lucci. I was with y'all. But how's it different from last year? Like, it's such a big switch from last year to this year. Like, what's changed?
I mean, obviously, I can't, you know, I can't really say that the big part of the switch, like, the head coach has a big deal to do with it, that's for sure. I love Lucci, obviously. Like, as you know, I had him in academy and stuff. And he helped me a lot with my development and everything. And I'll always be, like, grateful for what he did for me. But I do think, you know, this new head coaching change, I think it's, not only the fact that I'm not going to sit here and say like Nico is so much of a better coach than Lucci is, but I do think just that new, like, okay, now there's a new face here. Everyone comes into preseason with like a new, you know, coach to impress. I think it just kind of, you know, skyrocketed everyone's motivation more than anything. And everybody here is good players. So you give good players the platform to be creative and do what they're capable of doing. Then you see results like what we're seeing right now. And then I think also the new additions to the club have helped, you know, obviously with Paul, brother Paul is here now, Alan, Velasco, like they've been really good additions to help the team like progress and keep, you know, just keep the form that we're having. So obviously I'm really happy with that. And like I said, I think the head coaching change has definitely given us a new motivation. And also it had to do with, you know, the pressure of just being a head coach, but I think Nico, and which is impressive to me because this is his first time being a head coach at a club. He's just very calm, really laid back. And I think that gives us like the freedom to kind of, you know, express ourselves a little bit more. We're not super like, you know, the coach, like he kind of just gives us the blueprint of like, okay, you know, this is how the opponent plays and this is how we need to press, whatever. But once we're on the field, we just express ourselves. And like I said, when you have good players and you allow them to be creative, then, you know, you got people like Jesus with 9 goals already. And it's just like, everybody's just, you know, everyone's buzzing. And whenever you're riding a wave like that, then it's really hard for, you know, any team to knock us off our confidence. So I think that's another big reason why we're doing as well as we're doing right now. And obviously, yeah, I hope we just continue it.
Yeah, that's class. I mean, and I don't know if we can keep this in. I have a lot of love for Lucci, but I don't know if Tanner remembers this. I think one of the, I'm not going to name him, but one of the FC Dallas coaches was talking to us one day when we were 17s, and he was like, yeah, here within the coaching staff, we call Lucci like a video game coach or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was like, he tries to control the players like with like, you know, like you're playing a video game.
Right.
And so I think, like you said, it can help a little bit more that a coach is a little bit laid back. He lets you make your own decisions. He'll maybe tell you how he wants you to play in training. And then during the game, he kind of just, you know, trusts you to do your own thing. And I think, you know, as the results have shown, y'all are popping off right now. So it's crazy.
No, for sure. For sure.
And how would you say that's translated like into your confidence individually? Obviously, you're coming off, you know, last year, and we'll get a little bit more into that, but being between Dallas and North Texas, your first pro year. And now you're obviously coming off like a banger of a goal. Obviously, like you said, it's a little bit bittersweet, but your confidence is up there. How do you think it's affected, you know, the coaching change and all that stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I think personally, my relationship with Nico is good. Like I said, the same feeling. I feel like he's, you know, displaying to the whole team of kind of letting us do our thing. I've had multiple conversations one-on-one with him, and he's kind of preached the same concept. He knows what I'm capable of. And coming in, obviously, you know, when it's a new head coach, you got to, like, to know the players, you need to see their film and all this stuff. And he was really, you know, open with his communication on how he sees me as a player. And, you know, I think he's definitely helping me as well, just continue to grow. You know, he kind of has just said, I'm confident in what you're capable of. And he trusts what I'm, you know, what I can do on the field. And I think that's, again, not to put any shade on Lucci or anything, but that was a big difference, because I feel like with Lucci, it can almost kind of mess with your confidence in a way that you almost kind of question, like, oh, like, do I really, you know, am I really not, like, able to do these things that he keeps mentioning over and over? With Nico, it's kind of like, you know, you've been at this level for, this is now my third year, and he knows that, you know, once I get on the field, like, I have the experience, I have the, you know, game awareness and all that stuff that I need to do, and I know more or less how we play. So I definitely feel confidence. And obviously, like I said, scoring a goal definitely helps, you know, with personal confidence, aside from the coaching staff and everything. But I'm definitely feeling like, you know, I feel more free on the field. And I think it's really important for really any player.
I love you said that, more free on the field. That's big. I mean, that's what you see top players in the world. They're just free, man. They just, they don't worry about mistakes. They play soccer, man. They play football, and the rest, you know, takes care of itself if you have the quality, which I think you do. So that's very important that he's allowing y'all to play like that. And I think it's showing. But besides the Nico, like, what about the rest of the staff? Obviously, like, the assistant coaches, some have stayed. So there's some new ones, the strength coach. Like, how's everything else? Like, the system, is it, how's it going with that?
I mean, I would say it's definitely a little bit different. You know, we lost Vander, who was last year was like the actual head. So a new head came in, and I would say it's not anything crazy, but he as well is not like super, you know, I felt like a lot of the staff last year, just they were always stressed, it seemed like. And it obviously could have been having to do with, you know, the fact that we weren't doing as well and stuff. But yeah, they're all very calm, very, you know, they're obviously welcoming and really, you know, just wanting us to feel as good as we can. You know, they don't want to be on top of us too much with when it comes to recovery, when it comes to gym work, all that stuff. They kind of just let us do our own thing, kind of give us a blueprint, and then, you know, we're on our own from there. As far as the assistant coaches, obviously, you know, Peter's still there, Drew's still there, but the two new ones who have come in have definitely been, again, they're all kind of on the same wavelength. And it's kind of weird. I feel like when I think about like the staff, the Peter and Drew, for example, who were there from last year, Drew especially is much more laid back than I've ever seen in my life, especially really? When it comes to like set pieces and all that stuff. I think he's just way more calm. I can still see like the, you know, the fire in his like demeanor, you know, because he's obviously passionate about those set pieces, but I can definitely see like a little bit of a change in that, the way he delivers his message to us and stuff. And I think that's just something that I would assume, you know, Nico communicated with all the staff, like, this is how I want to come across the players. So I think all in all, like, it's definitely a good thing that, you know, the whole staff together is, they're on the same page. Because again, that's what's most important to help us to perform and deliver the message well to us that, you know, we're capable of doing what we can do.
That's interesting about Drew, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. That's if crazy. You saw him right now, you'd be shocked. Like, he's still the same person, like, you know, aside from like training and everything. But when he delivers those set pieces now, it's just like, it's way more calm. You don't feel as afraid to do your role in set pieces.
Yeah. He'd be saying some good. People are like unguardable. He'd be like, hey, I can't remember. Somebody from Minnesota, somebody would it be. I don't remember his name. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot better than last year, for sure.
I want to talk about goals real quick with you. And obviously, now, like you said, you're in your third year, you know, of being a full-on pro. What would you say, you know, what kind of goals have you set for yourself this year? And, you know, just give us a look into that.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I can't, you know, I can't be naive and say that I haven't set a goal for myself to be, like, you know, the full-time starter here. I've got my minutes here and there so far this season, but I have to obviously credit the people who are starting ahead of me right now. They've done very well. And they've, you know, obviously helped us to be at the position of the table that we're at right now. But, you know, I think part of it is also just controlling my mentality. I think that's the most important thing. I can't control that at this current moment, you know, Nico doesn't see me as a starter. But I can obviously control, you know, my attitude in training. I can control, you know, how I train, how much effort I put, how much work I put in before and after. And just my demeanor whenever decisions that happen as far as like our, you know, first 11 don't go the way I want. You know, how do I react? How do I show myself to my teammates and all that stuff? Definitely controlling my mentality has been definitely one of the biggest goals I set that are really much above everything, above getting goals, above getting assists, above, you know, winning the starting job. I think that's the most important thing because, you know, obviously, as you know, 2020 was a whirlwind of a year, not just on the field, but, you know, all over the world. And for that to be my first year, it's like, you know, I definitely had a mental test for sure. And then last year with the experiences we had and, you know, obviously us not doing as well, it's just, again, it's more of a test of how you really control what you can control. So I think above, you know, above all the, like I said, getting some more goals, getting some assists, getting just more stats, and obviously, you know, winning my starting job, I think the biggest goal I set for myself at the beginning of the year was just control how I approach things mentally and controlling my emotions. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to help you perform on the field. So I think that's the biggest one I set for myself this year.
I love that answer. It's a unique one. And I just want to ask you a follow-up because we have a lot of athletes, a lot of young athletes watching this.
Right.
And maybe aspiring pros. So how do you, you know, control that mentality, control that confidence? You know, it's something that goes up and down. So how do you maintain that at a certain level, even when things aren't going your way?
Sure. No, I think like you just said, it goes up and down. I wouldn't say there's a perfect way to control that part of yourself. Obviously, like you said, there's times that things don't go the way you want. And you can choose to, you know, kind of like mope around and just, you know, be upset about it, complain or whatnot, or you can choose, you know what, like more motivation to bounce back and change the next outcome. So that's more of what I've tried to do. Try to look for the positive in every situation, even if it's not one that goes your way. And then obviously the ones that do go your way, you know, you want to build on them and create more of them the next time you get the chance. So I think, like I said, there's not really like a perfect way to do it. It's definitely a practice. I'm a work in progress for sure. I haven't perfected it at all. And I think, you know, especially in a career of what we do now, there is never going to be a perfect way to deal with that. And I don't think anyone's going to master it. And, you know, anyone who says that, you know, I've mastered, you know, the way of controlling my mentality, I think they're lying to you. So I just think it's definitely just it's a practice, just like you practice on the field and perfect, you know, the things you need to do on the field and different parts of your game. It's the same thing mentally. You got to just keep training it, keep, you know, believing and just maintaining the positive attitude as much as you can.
I like that. I think it's tough too. Like when you have hopes, you know, when you have thoughts that like, you know, you score a goal and next game you're in good form, like, you could probably get the start or get minutes. And if it doesn't come, then you get your hopes up. And I think making sure that nothing affects the effort you give and the mentality you bring for the team. Like there's one quote that Kobe Bryant said that he said, I don't care what my role is in the team. If I got to start and play the full game, or if I got to come on one quarter, or if I got to just wave a towel and hand out water, the most important thing is I want to win games. And I think that's what playing with you, I think that's what you do a really good job at. And I think a lot of guys there do a really good job at, is just embracing their role. And I think FC Dallas, especially this year, has built such a good community within the team, and you all seem to get along with each other. So, for sure. it's more about winning games than it is about personal success, which will bring personal success if you win games. So I think that's a big part of it as well.
Exactly. No, for sure. And like I said, it's not, there's no perfect way to deal with it, but definitely knowing that at the end of the day, this is a team sport, right? This isn't like, it's not like tennis when you're on your own, or boxing when it's just you against another person. You have teammates here, and no matter how much personal success and goals you can set for yourself, like you just said, they're not going to happen if the team isn't doing well. And right now, like I said, obviously I'm not going to sit here and say I'm satisfied with my situation. I want to be, getting more starts, getting more minutes, but I can't be complaining if the team's doing well. I'm always going to be happy with that. And that's what's most important. So,
yeah,
I love that. And I respect that, because, I just want to make it clear for the people who don't know, I've known Eddie since I was maybe like 12 years old. We were in the academy. Mm-hmm. And, I was always looking up to you. You were part of Weston's class.
Right.
It was you, Weston, Reggie, Sendejas, I think, maybe. Yep. I think it was maybe 1 year older, but those are all the national team guys, and that team was so stacked. But I remember, no matter what, I mean, you were always winning national team. You were always, like, super humble. You'd always interact with us on trips and stuff like that. So I just think it's sick that, obviously, you go from being the star there. You're the star at SMU. And maybe right now you're not at that same status with FC Dallas, but, I mean,
right,
surely you're going to get there. But it just goes to show that your mentality is like A1, that you can continue to fight through it and come out on top. But talking about the class, that 98 class, I don't know if you remember, we went to Guadalajara like 2016. Copa Chivas. I don't know if you have any stories from that or if you remember that. So Tanner wasn't there yet, but we were U14s, y'all were U18s. I think it was you, like I said, Weston, Ben Hale, Tosh, Sendejas, all these cracks, honestly. Yeah. Like, it was
we were sacks. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know if you have any stories from that trip or from those guys from that class.
I'm trying to think. I think recently I was actually telling somebody here a story that happened. It had nothing to do with on the field. This was like we were in the hotel. We had just got eliminated, I think, and we like almost gotten some like serious trouble. We were playing like, that game Ninja that you play with like a group of people, like you stand in a circle. So we were doing that in our room, obviously making a bunch of noise. And Molina gave us a like curfew, like you need to be in bed by this time. Cause I think either the next day we were like leaving to go back home or something. I don't know. But he's like, you need to be in bed this time or whatever. And we're just chilling out. Like the hotel has like a hallway that's outside. So like you can go outside and see like if people are coming and leaving and stuff. And we saw the whole coaching staff like leaving, like Molina, like I think Victor was there at the time. Maybe Jesse was there too. They all left. So we're like, oh my goodness, like, the coaches aren't here. Like, let's just like chill and like pull an all nighter or something. And we're playing Ninja in our rooms and we're making like a whole bunch of noise. And like there's some of us playing in the room and then some of us are just out chilling on the outdoor hallway and stuff. And all of a sudden, it's like maybe, I don't know, 11 p.m. or so, like way past the time Molina told us to go to bed. And all of a sudden we see these, car lights pulling into the parking lot, like right in front of our rooms. And it's him, it's Molina, it's Victor, it's all of the staff. And we're like, oh shit, like we're all going back in our rooms. But I mean, we're very stupid because it's not like he can't see us going back in our rooms. Like the hallway's outside, like the parking lot's right there. You can see everything. And we go back in our rooms and we're just like, we turn all the lights off, trying to hide, act like we're asleep. Obviously we're not, but he comes in the hallways and he's like banging on all the doors and he's like, I know you guys are all asleep, or I know you guys are all awake. Like, I don't know why you're trying to hide. Like, there's no way I didn't see you guys and all this stuff. And I'm pretty sure we went back home the next day and he didn't give us the day off. Like we trained the next day and it was hell, to say the least. It was hell. That was definitely one of the more, it was definitely, again, one of those things where it's like, you're obviously scared, in the moment. It's like your staff's about to get you in trouble and stuff, but you remember that shit. Like now we laugh about it and it's amazing. And I think that's another thing that helps, the bond on 98s. We're still close. And even if we got in trouble, we did it together. So it was good. It was good. Good times.
Bro, I have an exact same story on that trip. Almost exactly the same. So it was the last day. Uh-huh. It was like nine of us. So Brian, Thomas, me, Harper, like all those guys were in one room. And I remember we were trying to decide a scary movie to watch, but we were like 14. We were all in this one room. It was like 10 of us.
Yeah.
And Chris Hayden comes and it's like way past the bedtime. And he hears us. Obviously, it's like 10, 11 of us in this one room. And uh-huh. he's banging on the door. And I remember like Nathan Hayes was like laying in between like the two beds. And then like a bunch of them were hiding in the bathroom and stuff like this. Like it was crazy. And so then I think Dante, shout out Dante. He's another guest on our show. He was like 12 at the time. He snitched on all of us.
Oh my goodness.
And so literally the next day at breakfast, we walk in and then he gets like all of us together. And he was like, all right, when we get home, you're going to have a week to all write an essay on professionalism. I'll never forget that.
Oh my goodness.
And we all had to write an essay on professionalism and submit it to Chris Hayden, bro. So shouts out to him. And that was another funny story from that trip.
Hey, that's class from Chris Hayden, though. That's class.
That is. Yeah, that is.
That's class. Hey, that's crazy though. There's so many stories with the group, and it's crazy how we all blossom together. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many guys mm-hmm. in the first team that are through the academy, and it's crazy how like we all stay in touch, and the stories like they're never ending, bro. Through every class. But is there anybody like in your class or that you played with, that you're friends with, that like really switched up? Like, I know we always joke about it at Dallas, like, you know, like, oh, Pac's changed. Like,
he's cocky.
Yeah, he's cocky. And we mess around, obviously. But is there anybody, legit? Because, like, players come back, right? Like, Dante came back. Thomas came back. Different players. Like, even, like, if Brandon went on loan, he comes back. Or players, mm-hmm. whatever. Weston comes back. And Brian Reynolds comes back. I'm going to come back. Like, is there anybody that, like, yeah, he switched up crazy, like, that you peeped or no?
Honestly, no. There isn't. I mean, like you said, we joke about it. You know, once it's like the way I think it's like a normal, I don't even think it's just our class. I think it's everybody through all the academies, like the way of us joking around and saying like, oh, you changed. It's almost like a way of hyping you up because they hit another level of success and all this stuff. So honestly, I don't think anybody actually changed. I think it is just that, you know, we just like to mess around and tease each other for just blossoming and doing better in the things that we all, you know, want to accomplish. So
Yeah.
Honestly, no one's really changed much.
How's it? That is good. How is it having Tommy back? I just want to know personally.
Oh yeah, Tommy. To say, you know what? I think Thomas before he left, I think he definitely had some like he was obviously dealing with a lot. You know, I can't fault him for that. There was stuff he was dealing with that completely out of his control, and he obviously wasn't happy about it at all, but. I think since he's been back, I can definitely see like a major shift in like how like his attitude, his mentality and everything. You know, I don't want to like throw shade on Tommy, but he used to complain a lot. You know, he used to complain a lot last year. And like I said, he had experiences that were just very difficult, and it'd be difficult for a lot of people not to complain about them. But the way I see him now, like, I think he's definitely grown in that aspect. He's very positive with the group. He's still like, he just got back. He's still working his way, trying to get into the lineup and get minutes, but he's embracing the challenge. And I really like that about him. I think he's definitely matured in that aspect. And I'm happy to see it in him for sure.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I like to hear that as well. I'm excited, bro. Yeah, I'm excited to come back and link up with all y'all, honestly.
Nah, for sure, bro.
Hopefully the Chump Chat blessing will come in for Tommy soon. I think it will.
I think it will too. Yeah. I think it will too, for sure.
But I just want to ask you, Eddie, obviously took a little bit of a different route than maybe some of your class, because you were mm-hmm. on the same level as them, national team, through like all the years and all this stuff. You went to SMU, which is a great program. You stuck mm-hmm. it out there. How did college, you think, help get you ready for the pros now?
It definitely helped me in multiple ways. I think for sure it, you know, the physical aspect of it, obviously in college you have like a the season in the fall of like 3 or 4 months or something, but then the spring is just, you know, straight running, lifting, and, you know, they're treating us like football players and stuff, which is obviously, it's not like, this is not how soccer is played, but it does help you, like, you know, grow that aspect as well. You know, you're lifting a lot, you're pushing yourself to limits that you normally wouldn't push yourself. Like, we never did anything like this in academy. You know, our lifting with like Felipe was very, very minimal. Very minimal, to say the least. So Yeah, it definitely helped in that aspect. You know, I definitely put on some weight and grew some muscle, which was something that I think in academy I didn't have much of at all. I was a lot more skinnier than I am now, and I definitely had, you know, the talent on the field and all that stuff, but every now and then I'd get pushed around, and I knew that was something I needed to grow. And it was honestly something I just didn't really pay that much attention to, because like I said, when it came to the lifting with Felipe, it wasn't like, you know, we're lifting to like get you so much bigger. It's just, you know, to maintain, you know, what we have throughout the week and stuff. So it definitely helped in that aspect. But again, you know, I go back to mentality and stuff. In the spring, they're pushing us to limits that, you know, like you're running and you're seeing teammates to your left and right throwing up, and everyone's like grinding together, you know, and it's just like, how far can you push yourself mentally? Because physically you can do everything that they're doing, but it's like, what are you telling yourself in your mind whenever you're going through this and it's hard and, you know, it's super hot and you're outside and, you know, you're on the turf and the turf is like burning your feet and all that stuff. It's like, how are you, you know, dealing with that mentally? How are you actually pushing yourself? So I think that might be the biggest aspect that I took from college, because I come back here sometimes and I look at some of the mentality of people and like certain things, for example, like in preseason, we're doing running and stuff. And, you know, a lot of the South American guys, Hispanic guys are, you know, asking the coaches after every rep, like, oh, how many are we doing? Or is this the last one and stuff? It's like, I didn't grow up in an environment where you ask the coach, like, how many are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, you just do it. And once you're done, then you're done, but you don't ask. You know, I used to grow up in, it's like, if you ask how much you're doing, they add another one and another one and stuff like that. So I think for sure that aspect helped me. And I think in general, one of the things that I always say is somewhat similar between the college game and the MLS. Obviously the level, as far as, you know, the speed of play, there's a huge difference, but the physicality of the game is very similar. And I think, you know, getting used to, you know, my freshman year still coming in quite skinny, and having to get pushed around by these guys, you know, pretty much Tanner size. And like, it's not even like, it's just the center backs either. It's like the outside backs, you know, the people that I got to go one-on-one against. And it's like, you got to like learn how to deal with that. So definitely putting on weight, but also just knowing like you're capable and stuff like that. So yeah, Tanner, I know you like that one.
You're such a clown, bro. We don't got to talk about your pull-ups, bro.
What do you mean my pull-ups?
Hey, we used to do these, shout out Artie. I know he's still there getting y'all strong and swole, but
oh yeah, for sure.
For the fans listening, we used to do these. Well, he would try to make us do these like weekly challenges. So like we'd have like who could do the most pull-ups, and then like consecutive, and or like who could do the most I don't know, like push-ups in a minute or something. Like it was, yeah, all like in a minute time frame. Like that. But we only ended up doing like 2 weeks or something, because we were busy. Like it just didn't work out. It was a good idea though to like get us all mentally challenged for this one thing that we were all going to compete with each other. But I remember the pull-ups, man. Eddie just like didn't stop. Like he was just floating. Like there was like a cable attached to him and he was just going up and down like it was a yo-yo. And I was like, what is going on, bro? Like this ain't right. Like I don't know I don't know if he's got helium on him or something. I don't know, but he was just going up and down. It was crazy.
And SMU weight program, definitely different then.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely helped, to say the least. That's for sure. It helped. But I mean, Tanner will be doing bench and like everyone else is doing like 35 pound plates and he's got 245s on.
Okay.
And it's just like, that's his warm up. And I'm like,
this is not true.
This is true. No, you can.
Hey,
you can,
this is not true. For everybody listening,
I've worked out with Tanner. I worked out with Tanner. It's true.
Is true.
No, guys. Everybody out there listening, this is not true. It was 245s and a 25. All right. So it wasn't just 245.
Well, damn. Come on.
Nah, I'm playing. Damn. It wasn't 245s. It's a 45 and a 35. That's like my max. But I got better now. So maybe it is 245s. But not. I think definitely you're right on that college aspect. That's one thing that definitely improves some players, especially players like you that are technical and have the right ideas in soccer. I think being more physical, I think something that FC Dallas Academy through the process is something that's not focused on as much, because we're young kids. And I think the other things are more important, right? Like you got to learn technique before you can get strong. So I think it's the right way to do it. But we want to talk about your first and second year being pro, because obviously your first year with North Texas, a solid year. Obviously, I think you knew when you signed that was a possibility that you would get loaned to play with North Texas. And those games were important for you and the club, but you were still training with the first team. still getting that experiences. So it was still overall a good year. Obviously with COVID, it was tough as well, but that's a different story. But what I really want to dive into is your second year, like last year when we played together.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a starter. You were a starter week in, week out for a lot of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was the Colorado game.
Yeah.
And after that Colorado game, you weren't on the roster.
Right.
And then after that, you went down in North Texas, right?
Right. For a little bit. Yeah, I did. I did.
Tell me like what was going through your head. Cause obviously in that moment, I'm feeling for you. And the players around us are like, you know, it's not our business. So we don't say stuff, but we feel for you. And we're like, what's going on? Like, this is crazy. Like, how does that even happen? Like the guy was playing well starting and then not even in the roster. Like that's the crazy thing. So, but tell us your perspective from it and how you felt in that situation.
Yeah, no, it was, like you said, it was a tough moment. Definitely for this career that I'm doing, which I love so much, I would easily say it was one of the toughest, you know, periods in my life. To this day, I still don't really know, you know, why it went down like that. But like I said, you just gotta, you know, move on and kind of, you know, take whatever positives you can out of it. But yeah, obviously my first year, not only did I know that I would have to be playing like in the 2020 season, not only did I know that I'd have to be playing with North Texas, because, you know, that's just part of the process that they've been doing as soon as North Texas was introduced. But I also knew that my chances to get into the first team were not going to happen much, just because I've seen so many other people before me, you know, the first year they don't play. And I made a couple of rosters here and there. And obviously I would think that there's a chance that I could, you know, maybe go in, even if it's like 5 minutes or something, just to get the experience. But, you know, 2020, I never got that chance. And that fueled me in, you know, the preseason for last year, 2021, to just come in and do everything I can. And, you know, thankfully we had, in that moment, I also knew we had, you know, Reggie had left that summer and Brian Reynolds left at the end of that season. So I knew there was an opening for me. And the crazy thing is the staff also spoke with me, you know, leading into that preseason. And they didn't directly say like, we have plans for you, but it was like, you know, this preseason is going to be a lot different for you than last season, as far as how we're looking at opportunities for you and stuff. So all of that coming into the season was fuel for me to really win that spot. And obviously, you know, as I started the first, what was it? Or I didn't start the first like two, I think. And then once I won the spot, it was, I think, six in a row or something like that. But I obviously did what I needed to do to win the spot. And then I think it also didn't help that specific game in Colorado, I think we got smacked like 3-0 or something. And it was one of those things where I don't really think that I did, you know, so much wrong in that game to, you know, get not only, I mean, I got subbed out at halftime, but like, there's no way I did so much wrong in that game to not only get subbed that quickly, but to, you know, completely go to just not being on the roster after all the work I put in preseason to win the spot. And not only win the spot, but just, you know, be a regularly rostered player, because, you know, previous 2020 season, I just wasn't even being rostered. So for it to go the way it did, obviously it was a really emotionally challenging moment for me. And it was difficult to have to still come into training every day and facing, you know, the staff that basically did that to me, you know what I mean? And then, you know, having to go back to North Texas, to be honest, I wasn't super upset about that, because the main thing that I was really upset with was the fact that I'm not playing games, and, you know, I was losing game fitness, losing game rhythm. So in a way I was okay with that, but just the whole, like I said, you know, completely going back to not being rostered, it was just kind of like, it felt like 2020 all over again. But it was worse, because 2020, I accepted that this would happen, because like I said, it's my first year, and so many other of, you know, my former teammates in my academy class that I ended up signing homegrown, like, they went through the same thing. So 2020, I wasn't upset about it, but having to go back to that the following year, that's what was tough. So yeah, I mean, it was definitely annoying. Eventually I worked my way and got some more opportunities here and there and got more minutes again, but it was definitely not the way the season started and the way it ended. I wouldn't say that that's how I pictured it to go at all. So it was difficult. But, you know, like I said, you have to just do whatever you can to find some type of, you know, positive from the moment. And I think one positive that I got out of the whole thing was the fact that not only I can't, you know, obviously I have to look back, I wasn't satisfied with my last year, but I have to look back and, you know, I did get MLS minutes. I did get the experience of playing in the league, which I was longing for so much in 2020. I did gain, you know, even as it wasn't as many games I wanted to play, but I did gain exposure for myself and I did get the minutes that I've been longing for such a long time. So I have to obviously be somewhat, you know, happy with that. It could have been a lot worse. But again, that's just, it's just having to find a way to just see as much, you know, positive as you can and help it to, or have it, you know, fuel you for, you know, this season that we're in right now. So yeah, it definitely helped me grow mentally for sure. And it was a mental battle the whole year. You know, obviously the people that were in my corner, my family, my girlfriend, all the people who were, you know, closest to me, they saw the toll it took on me emotionally and mentally. But I love this game too much. And I love, you know, playing the sport too much. And I didn't go through academy and go to college and sign, you know, homegrown in 2020 to just, you know, quit. You know, I'm obviously going to keep going and keep fighting, and it's my career and this is what I love to do. So yeah, it was tough, but like I said, there's always opportunities to bounce back. So
that's one thing I want to ask you about, like personally, because I wanted to ask you when I was there, but how did you deal with, and how did the conversation go about when they, like, after you had not made the roster for you to go play with North Texas? Like, did they come to you and say, like, oh, we want you to play in these minutes? Or were you like, I need minutes, I want to play, knowing that it could help you get into the first team again? Or was that what they said? But then how did you also, like, feel about that? Because obviously I know there's players that are in the first team now that if they said that they didn't make a roster, like, for example, Vargas last year, if they told him to go play with North Texas, like, I don't know how you feel about it. And there's other players as well that I don't know if they would do it. So how did that conversation go? And how did you feel about that?
So that conversation, so the first game, after that Colorado game that we played, I think we had like 3 weeks or something with no game or something like that. So I didn't know anything of it until like the, 2 days before the next game that we played. So the whole 3 weeks, I'm still thinking like, okay, I didn't have the game that I wanted in Colorado, but I should still at the least, like, you know, be rostered. Like, I shouldn't have an issue, like, not being rostered. That was the last thing that came into my mind. And then I think either the day before or 2 days before, I remember vividly because we were in the middle of playing pig in the cafeteria. And Lucci calls me into his office. And he tells me that I'm not rostered for that next game. I think it was Minnesota or something. And obviously, I was, like, shocked, you know. Let alone it ended up being for the next however long it was, 2 or 3 months. But even to not be rostered from that game was shocking to me because, like I said, I'd put in so much work. Like, there's no way this can be happening again. So that was all he said for that. He was like, oh, we think you're not going to be on, or we're not planning to have you on the roster for this game. But he didn't say in a way that, like, this is going to last for the next however long it ended up being. So to be honest, it got to a point, I think it was like maybe, I would say 2 or 3 games later. The only communication I got of not being rostered was that first one. The rest after that, I wasn't told anything. So I just continued to not be rostered. And it's just kind of, again, it's that mental battle of like, did I really do that bad in the 5 games or 6 games that I played to just like not, you know, even get a chance anymore? And then after like, I think 2 or 3 weeks, I was called in again. So this was not even something that I even like went to talk to them about. I was called in again and then they're like, oh, you know, we think it's been 2 or 3 weeks that you haven't played in a game. We want you to get some more game rhythm and you know, work your way back into the roster and stuff. So me, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do this because if this is going to help me get back into the spot which I deserve to be, then I'll do it. I think I played like 2 or 3 games with North Texas in a row and still nothing had really changed in the roster. And I didn't think like fitness wise, like I felt okay. Like I wasn't at a point where it's like, I really needed the minutes because I'd been not playing for 2 or 3 months or something. So I was really starting to get kind of, you know, anxious and I also felt in a way that, like, you know, I went to the coaches and asked, like, you know, what else do I need to be doing, this and that, after the games I was playing in North Texas. So I asked to do video of the games that I played with North Texas to, you know, have them see what I need to improve on, what I'm doing well, all this stuff. But it got to a point where I just felt like everything I was doing, like, nothing was helping. You know, I would stay after and work on things. It just felt like everything I was doing just wasn't working. So yeah, obviously emotionally it was tough. It was tough having to just, you know, talk to the people in my corner and tell them, like, yeah, you know, he still hasn't put me on the roster. He still hasn't, you know, really given me much looks anymore. It got to a point, to be honest, I didn't give up or anything, but it got to a point, like, in training, I wasn't enjoying myself. You know, it obviously was just like, I'm doing everything that I can, and I'm obviously, this is a game I love so much, but with the minimal communication I'm getting, and I'm doing everything that they're telling me to do, and, like, there's no progress, there's no, like, you know, okay, there's steps leading into, you know, back where you wanted to be. I wasn't enjoying myself that much anymore, and it was tough. And having to come into training every day, like I said, facing the same people who basically, you know, took that opportunity away from me, it was very tough. And I definitely felt at times that I was just kind of going through the motions. And, you know, even whenever I would stay after and do gym, like, it's like I didn't really want to do it, but I knew that I needed to, because I knew it's going to, like, help me at some point. Like, I knew maybe something good is going to come out of it, but at that moment, it didn't feel like it. You know, it just felt like never ending. So it was definitely tough. It was tough for sure. But like I said, it's one of those things where those are experiences that you go through that obviously help you be stronger in the future. So, but yeah, it was definitely a very tough moment.
I agree. Yeah, bro, I agree 1,000%.
I gave you credit, bro, for doing that. And I respect you a lot for doing it, because I don't know how I would feel about it. You know, it would be tough for sure. So a lot of props to you, yeah, bro, for sticking with it. And I've always said this as well. But yeah.
I mean, bro, no, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I've told Tam before. So last year was the same thing with me. I had a coaching change, and then I felt like I was training really well, doing everything I could, like you said, and I just wasn't considered, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just feels like I felt exactly the same. Like, it's like, what am I even doing it for? Like, I'm doing the best, like, I'm the best one in training, and like, what, like, I'm still not getting considered for anything. It almost feels like you're not enjoying it, like you said, anymore. It's like, you're just there. Like, why am I here? You know?
Right.
So I respect you, bro. And I think that, like you said, that moment will propel you forward. As we can see now, it's propelling you forward. And I think you're going to have a huge next couple of years coming up. And I think that mentality, like you said, is huge. But just so that we can start wrapping this up, I mean, I want to transition to success. You know, this whole thing here is how we define success. Maybe some people will have said, you know, being called into youth national team successful, going D1 is successful, or signing pro is successful. You've done all those things. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, you know, what's your definition of success, and do you think you've achieved it yet?
Well, it's a tough question. I definitely wouldn't say, I think as long as I personally feel like I'm not satisfied with, you know, what I'm capable of doing, like, you know, like I said, my current situation right now, like, I'm not a starter yet. So I'm obviously not satisfied at that. So I think as long as there's something that you're not, like, a milestone that you really want to reach, that you're not super satisfied, that you haven't got to it yet, I wouldn't say I've reached success. But then at the same time, you can, like, counter that and be like, well, you know, there's always going to be something you can hit. There's always some new milestone you can hit to, you know, propel yourself to achieve something greater and greater and stuff like that. So it's like, do you ever really achieve success? But to be honest, I think it's tough, because as long as you're still active, I think it's hard to say that, like, you've achieved success. There's obviously, like you mentioned, you know, being called into national team when I was in academy, you know, playing Division 1, signing my first pro contract, like, these are all different milestones. But I wouldn't say that, at least me personally, I wouldn't say that I've achieved success yet. I think it's gonna, maybe until, you know, I'm later on in my career and I've kind of already passed my peak, that's when I can maybe say that. But as right now, you know, I'm still 23, I'm young, and there's still so much time ahead of me. I wouldn't say I've achieved success yet, but I've definitely achieved these milestones that are propelling me to continue to, you know, keep progressing as much as I can.
It's a good answer. And I was telling Tan, I think for such a complicated question, it's tough for our, yeah, our guests, if they don't know that it's coming beforehand, to think of something right on the spot. So I think that's a fantastic answer. But yeah, I mean, do you have anything else for him, Tan?
No, just our second biggest question really is obviously Eddie, bro. You know a lot of people, man. You're a big time star. You're well known in the Dallas area, Dallas Fort Worth area, Plano area, Arlington area. Like you're out there. I know you know a lot of people from school. You got a lot of connections at different D1s. You know a lot of coaches. You got a lot of friends. You got a lot of players. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dallas now, FC Dallas is connecting with the Stars, with the NBA team, the Mavericks, who I'm looking forward to seeing them play against Golden State. Shout out Luka, if you want to call on him, hit me up. But obviously, you got a lot of connections, and y'all are out here with the team. Y'all got new connections on the players and have played with past players. But now that you've been on Chump Chat, who do you want to see next on Chump Chat?
Oof. That's another good question. There's honestly a lot of people I'd love to see on here.
Start naming them off, bro. We got you.
Well, let's see. Well, okay, I'll just start within here in the team. There's definitely multiple. I'd love to see Brother Paul on here.
Okay.
I'd love to see Kos on here.
Okay. Kos.
Yeah, Kos would be a good one because he's definitely had we both had a similar 2020 experience, which was tough. So who else? Trying to think. I mean, you could definitely have you had Jesus on here?
No, we haven't, man. He's been ducking me. Jesus.
Oh, he has?
You've been ducking 9 goals and all of a sudden we don't know who Terry Tesman is.
That is crazy. That is okay. I will say that's crazy.
Okay.
I think that's definitely, yeah. Something needs to be said about that for sure.
Hey, to my FC Dallas players, I got a lot of y'all. When I come back, I'm going to be dabbing up Matt Hedges, Jesus Ferreira. I'm going to be dabbing y'all up, and we're going to see what's up.
That's all. Oh, yeah, we'll see. We'll see then. Yeah, but no, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, it'd be hard for me to name everybody that I'm thinking off the top of my head. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, this has been a pleasure. You know, I've always, like, as soon as you said you were going to do this, I was like, bro, this thing's going to blow up, like, honestly. So I'm really thankful that I could take part in this for sure.
Hey, man, for all the fans listening, Eddie is the most, like, he's the most supportive guy on the team, for real. Like, he's always there in your corner. He's, like, he's honestly, like, the same as Reggie. And I know the people that are listening know Reggie and see him, like, with the national team or with whatever it is. And Eddie's, like, the same, like, big support guy. He's always there for you. Works hard in training, always there, busting him. So, hey, big respect to Eddie. I'm honored to have you on the pod, man. Honestly, I think it's been a banger of an episode. I think the fans will enjoy it. The FC Dallas fans will enjoy it for sure. A lot of our audience is FC Dallas. So, no, I'm glad that you were able to make it happen so quick. But, no, I think you gave us good answers and gave good insight for the young people listening.
Yeah. So. For sure, bro. For sure. Like I said, it's been a pleasure.
I'm going to do an outro real quick. But before that, you know, we just saw you score. Banger of a goal. You score with North Texas. You have a nice goal touch. We'll just say that. So it's not rare for you to score. So you have a little thing now. We've told a couple of people now. We want to start seeing a Chump Chat celebration when you score. It's nothing too complicated. But after you score, I want to see a little salute to the camera. And that way we know that's the Chump Chat celly, and that's dedicated to us right there. So now you got the banger out the way. Maybe you dedicate it to your family, your girlfriend, whatever. But the next one's for the Chump Chat boys, and we want to see that. And we'll upload it to all the socials and everything.
I got you for sure. That's for sure.
Right. Okay.
Perfect.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. No problem. Anytime. I'd love to make a second appearance sometime if I can, you know. I don't know
how long it's going to be. For sure, bro. But,
you know, for sure. I'd love to.
Hey, for sure.
Hey, his Instagram will be popped up throughout the whole time. Thanks to our editor, Anthony. If y'all enjoyed it, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And as we always say, go find your own success. Deuces.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.